Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God can do that. Amen. Clean through the word. Turn to Psalm 35. I like the Psalms. I'm probably surprised to hear me say that. But I love the Psalms. I kind of live in them. And they're very, very helpful. They're very to the point. There's a lot of help in them. Psalm 35. And we'll look at one verse. God delivered David out of so much. And David admitted many, many times how much mercy he needed, how much help he needed. And God always answered his prayer. And so I want to read the one verse, verse 18 of Psalm 35. And the Bible says, David says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. And I want to take that little phrase, much people, and see what God has to say to us today about that. But David just wanted to praise God, and he wanted everybody to hear it. Amen? He wanted people to know that. Let's bow and ask God's blessing. Father, help us now as we preach your word. May hearts be open to it. May my heart be open to it. And may you be glorified. May you fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I like stories of deliverance. I like the spiritual part too, as you go into the scriptures and see that. And it talks about in the presence of the multitude, in the presence of much people. The criteria for success in our world today is much people. A restaurant that has a lot of people, a lot of cars in front, you know, oh, that must be a good restaurant. That's how you pick a good restaurant. You see how many cars are in the front. And if there's one or two cars and all these restaurants around it have 50 cars, probably skip that restaurant. Amen? You know, sporting events, it's a success. I don't know if you're a U of M fan or not. What is that? Never mind. You've left the state, so never mind. And but I mean, they've got an auditorium for their college games. Over 100,000 people come to that, and they always have it packed out. I mean, they never have a game, and so that people consider that you know, success. If you watch the Lions play, there's maybe 10 or 12 people that come to the game, you know, and so that's not much of a success. But that kind of carries over, that philosophy carries over into the church. And so people say, well, if there's a lot of people in church, that's a successful church. Well, some cults have a lot of people, and so you can't always gauge that. But I don't think anything could be farther from the truth, and there's a purpose that I'm preaching this today. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. But they reached the world, didn't they? The little flock. They criticized David because he watched those few sheep. But because he was faithful in little, God made him faithful in much. You have Jesus talking about the wide road that leads to destruction, and many there be on that road. And then there's a narrow road, which leads to life everlasting, and there's only a few that are on that road. I think Jesus was concerned with the multitudes, and you find that over and over in the scriptures. He's speaking and preaching to the multitudes. But he also was concerned about the individual. The woman at the well is a good example of that. He must needs go through Samaria. And so he focused on that one woman, but that one woman led to the salvation of the whole city. And so sometimes it's not the multitude, it's a person. The stories are absolutely endless. There's Bible stories. Philip left the revival in Samaria, went to the backside of the desert, won the Ethiopian eunuch, and tradition tells us that he went back and all kinds of people got saved because of that. You have Stephen. Stephen is preaching a message to the Jewish nation, Acts chapter 7, and they refused it, and they killed him. But there was one man out of that, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He gets saved in Acts chapter 9, and he reaches the whole world. I think that's interesting. So the multitude is important. I pastored a church many, many years. We had well over 200 people. this is as precious to me as our church was. Sometimes we'd have big days, almost 400 people. That's a lot of people. I preached in different arenas and different places with a lot more people than that. But you know what? I've also preached to one man when I was going to Bible college at a special service that we had at work. He was the third shift supervisor. His name was Tom, and I won't tell you his last name because this goes all over the world. Amen. This message goes all over the world. But anyway, after the service, me and him, and he got saved. That's as powerful as anything you do anywhere else. Amen. So it's just such a blessing to have that idea. Bible Institute in Romania and Moldova, sometimes we'd have 20, 30 men. And we had a Bible Institute in Sturgis. And sometimes we'd have a lot of people, but one semester we had one man. He's a missionary in Russia right now. Another semester we had one man, just me and him, and he's a pastor in Ohio now. So God does what he wants, little as much when God is in it. Amen? And you never know that one person that you reach. It doesn't have to be a multitude. He can reach the multitude. It doesn't stop with us. Amen? It's not all up to us. I heard the story that Spurgeon was preaching one time to himself. He was in this big arena, this big auditorium, and he was going to preach there that night. And he's quoting Bible verses and everything and saying part of his sermon. And there was a guy up in the balcony cleaning. He didn't know was there. And that guy got saved. Amen? So whatever happened the next night, and I'm sure it was a great, great meeting, but it's just such a wonderful thing to know that everything you do for the Lord is profitable. It's all profitable. You and God make a majority. Bob Jones Sr. said that. 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan has an armor bearer, and Jonathan is praying about going up to fight the Philistines. They had a garrison there, and there was a number of men, I think 20-some men. And Jonathan told his armor bearer, the Lord's able to save whether by many or by few. So little is much when God is in it. Amen? I'll get to the message in about a half an hour here. But it's good work ahead. Amen? So you can see what's going on. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, there's the other side of the coin. We want as many people in church as we can get. Amen? Because that's the purpose here. We feed the flock. We also fleece the flock. Amen? It's a little joke there. You know, a little joke. But we try and get people in so that they can be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, by the way, God wants his house full. That's what he wants. And Luke chapter 14, you know, they made this big banquet, and this one made an excuse, this one made an excuse, this one made an excuse, and so the Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, the halt, the maimed, the blind, that my house may be full. So God wants that. That doesn't always work. Not everybody you invite comes to church. Amen? But it should not discourage us. It should not stop us. We need to keep doing that for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Corinth was a rough place. There's an old phrase, and it was back in the day, to corrupt something was to Corinthianize it because it was such a corrupt city. It was a hard place to minister. But there were some Christians there, and in chapter 15, verse 34, Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Some have not the knowledge of God. And then he said, I speak this to your shame. And so our neighborhoods, where we work, our family, amen, we need to give them the knowledge of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So even if you give the truth out, it's not always received. But down the road that can be received, because we plant some seed and maybe years later, there's a harvest of that. 1 Timothy 2:4, God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he establishes a church. And we get together and we get strengthened by the word and helped by the word of God. And we encourage one another for the work. Amen? And the great work of winning souls, people being saved. I think That's important for us to do. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is at Ephesus, and he's speaking to the elders there, those pastors, and he says in verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. But he said, the whole counsel of God. There's so much here. We have in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study the Bible. But here's a good one too. Study to be quiet. Isn't that a good one? Amen? Just quiet. Quiet time with the Lord. And study to be quiet. We don't have to answer everything. We don't have to comment on everything sometimes. Some people have a gift to gab. Okay, I better move along here. David knew what it was like to be delivered from his enemies, even from himself, even from his own attitude sometimes. And he enjoyed that deliverance. And so Spurgeon says about our text, notable deliverances must be recorded and their fame emblazoned. These are powerful truths. All the saints should be informed of the Lord's goodness. Testimony meeting. Amen? We say something that is good. We talk about a blessing. Who wants to give a testimony? And people pop up and say, boy, the Lord is so good, and he blessed me here, and he blessed me there. And we emblazon that. We spread that among the brethren. It's good to hear. He goes on and says, the theme is worthy of the largest assembly. The experience of a believer is a subject fit for an assembled universe to hear of, because that is a manifestation of the grace of God. And maybe you're shy and you don't feel like, but sometimes the song just sings itself. You know, the father said to the little girl, don't sing that around me anymore. I don't want to hear about Jesus' love. And she said, I can't help it, Dad. The song just sings itself. Sometimes you just have to say, praise God. Amen? Because he's so good to us. He went on and said, most men publish their griefs. Good men should proclaim their mercies. You ever ask somebody how they're doing and then wish you hadn't asked how they were doing? Amen? And sometimes it's good to share prayer requests. Don't get me wrong. But we ought to be praising God for his mercies, because that is strengthening. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amen? And that communication, that good news from a far country, is like a cool drink of water. Amen? God's good. Amen? God is good. And there's personal praise that leads to public praise. That leads to perpetual praise. We have so much to be thankful for. But I, like you, Galatians 5, my flesh and spirit, you know, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And there's thoughts that come into my mind. That's why we cast down imaginations. And we think on these things, good, lovely, good report, all of that. Because our thoughts, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we concentrate on the negative, guess what comes out of here? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we're thinking negative, where we ought to be thinking, praise God, his mercies endure forever. He daily loads us with benefits, etc., etc. Amen? And so give me the tongue of a ready writer. Just help me to just put something down so somebody else can see it. What a blessing to praise God with a host of people. You can praise God in your prayer closet, but when you're praising God and the person you're with is praising God, that's a pretty good meeting. Amen? And then where two or three are gathered together and you just keep multiplying that, that's a pretty good meeting. And when it gets to be hundreds, amen, 1 year, one day, 1 second in heaven, we're going to really be praising God. It's going to be a heavenly host. The more the merrier, I say. Amen. Revelation 19:1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people. There's those words again. Much people in heaven. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven. What are they going to do? Saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. They're not going to say, well, woe is me, or, you know, they got more than I got, or, you know, I should have done this. It's going to be glory to the Lamb that was slain. Much people. That's the great voice. In Exodus chapter 15, you don't have to turn back there. I just want to read a couple verses. But there's a song back there, and it's called the Song of Moses. And in Exodus 15, they've come out of Egyptian bondage. They've come across the Red Sea. And so they've been delivered over, and now they're finally delivered. Think of that. And they're going to go into the Promised Land. At least that's the idea at the moment. So they're singing. I would sing. I would sing if all of that happened, if I was in bondage to cruel taskmasters and no hope for my children and just years of bondage, and all of a sudden now I see all these miracles and I walk through the Red Sea, I think I'd sing. Amen? And it says, "They then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." That's the song. And so when we sing songs, it's praising God. Amen? And so we ought to sing. Whether you're a good singer or a bad singer, just sing. And if you got a sore throat, sing in your mind and just go, amen? God's good. God is good. And so they sing that song. Paul and Silas sang a song. I don't know which one it was. I think I've mentioned this before. If you study, I think it was that there ain't nothing but a hound dog. And I don't know what they sang, but they sang praises to God at midnight. Amen? In that situation. Psalm 40. These are favorite verses for my wife and I. Richard, what are they? How does it start? Okay. It slipped my mind, so I prayed. Is that? No, that's not it. How does it start? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me up out of the miry clay, and he put in my mouth a new song. He put in my mouth a new song. That's because of what he did for us. Amen? So that's why we praise God. And we want to do that among more people all the time. You just want to praise God and have those songs of deliverance. In Revelation 15, it's going to be sung again, the song of Moses. It says, "And they sing the song of Moses." This is Revelation 15. "The servant of God and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So here they are, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, wherever they became believers, and here they are in heaven. And we're singing, what? Songs of deliverance. Amen? The song of a soul set free. When Jesus came, Luke chapter 2, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So the Lord comes, and we sing about his sacrifice. We sing about his mercy. We sing about his coming again. We praise him among much people. That's what we do when we get together in church, much people. The first mention of much people in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 50. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was going to be killed by his brothers, but he sold into slavery. They were jealous of him. Bad, bad relationship even up to that time. But when it came to that wrath being manifested, that malice, they wanted to kill him. Well, he sold into slavery. You know what happened. Lied about, ends up in prison. But he becomes really the savior in Egypt. I mean, God had spoke to him, okay, save the food, and there's going to be a purpose in this. And it says when he finally sees his brothers again, because there's a purpose in that, we'll see that in a minute, in Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I have a desire, Paul said, to depart, but it's more needful for me to minister to you. And that trial, that thing that you're enduring, that you want to quit, you want to stop, you want peace, you want comfort, stay in the battle, because there's a soul to be won. Amen? There's something that's going to happen. There was a fellow by the name of Samuel L. Bringle, and you might have read this, but he has a little classic book entitled Helps to Holiness. And it was originally written as a series of articles, but it was written during a period of convalescence. Somebody threw a brick at him, hit him in the head, and he had to just take time off from the work. And during that time, he wrote this little book. He wrote these devotionals. And the Brangles used to say, if there had been no little brick, there would be no little book, because that's when he wrote it. And Mrs. Brangle kept the brick and painted a text on it. And the text was this: but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to save as it is this day much people alive. There's a purpose in that. Amen? Well, I hate who threw the brick. Well, amen. If it led to somebody's salvation, you'd check your heart out, right? Amen? That's good time to say amen. Amen. John Bunyan, he was in Bedford Jail. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. That's the most popular book in the whole world, Pilgrim's Progress. What a great book. Mrs. Charles Cowman, her and her husband were missionaries for years and years. And when she lost her husband, she wrote a book on consolation and Streams in the Desert and Springs in the Valley. But they're tremendous devotional books because of what she went through. Vance Havner wrote a book when he lost his wife, and it has helped so many people. And there's so much that comes out of grief. Amen. There's so much sincerity. There's so much wisdom from God because of the help given. In 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 13, and there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of the unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. Those are exciting times. Much people in attendance, much people united in praise and prayer, much people singing together. That is a source of blessing. It's always a source of blessing, unless you get somebody off tune right behind you. Amen? We had a young man in our church, and he could not sing. He loved God, but he could not sing. I mean, and when I say that, it was really bad. You could hear him above lots and lots of people. And when he'd sing, he was so excited, he'd be bouncing back and forth. So he was affecting a lot of people. But he loved to sing, and he made a joyful noise unto the Lord. But when he'd come to church, sometimes people would, never mind, won't give you his name either. But sometimes in the Bible, much people, that phrase is used to bring about pity. There are certainly a lot more people out of church than there are in church. There's certainly a lot more people going away from God than are coming to God. Amen? And so we see that much people, and it can lead to discouragement. It can lead to criticism. It can lead to all kinds of things. And that can ruin our spirit. It ought to produce pity in our hearts. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. A sheep without a shepherd. That's all across the world. That's why we support missionaries, so that a shepherd might go to minister to sheep and win people to Christ. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 36, that talks about a certain man, and he did this, and he had people coming after him, and he was a false prophet. In verse 37, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. That's always been going on. There's always false doctrine. There's always bad doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many, by reason of the way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Don't follow a multitude to do evil. We have to stay pure. We have to stay clean. We have to stay focused on what the Bible says. Amen? Because many will follow their pernicious ways. There's one of the Old Testament prophets, I forget which book it's in, but it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes. And as we look on that, because people are, they need that gospel message. So at least they have the opportunity to come to Christ. There was a movie made of the book, Sheffy, and it was a real preacher. His name was Sheffy, and he was a circuit riding preacher. And Bob Jones University made a film about it. It's excellent, excellent film. And this young man went with his buddies as a young man, and they went to a revival meeting. There was an old-time preacher preaching, small meeting, maybe 15 people in the whole thing. And they brought with them some corn cobs. And in the middle of the message, right after it started, I guess, they started throwing these corn cobs at this preacher. And they just broke up the whole meeting. One hit him and knocked his glasses off. I think it broke his glasses that he couldn't see. So he's kind of speaking from memory. But he was focusing on this young man that was trying to keep his friends from doing such damage. And he stayed after everybody left. This young man, his name was Sheffy, he stayed. And he went up and he spoke to that preacher. And that preacher won him to the Lord. Who knows what his name was? Obscure, little group of people. But Sheffy was saved in that meeting. And the movie goes on and how he goes home and he tells his family he got saved and they mocked him because that's really radical, you know, to be saved. But he became a great, great circuit riding preacher. This is a true story, book about him. One person. You never know who that one person God's really going to touch and give opportunities to. Amen? You may never have an opportunity to be a circuit riding preacher or go to a mission field, but you can certainly be faithful to a local assembly and invite people that may be the next missionary. Amen? And we see that all the time. Many are on the broad road, and there's not a lot on the narrow road, and it's so important. We should have compassion in our lives. We should have pity on people. Compassion, Webster defines as a suffering with another. Painful sympathy, not anger. Painful sympathy. A sensation of sorrow excited by the distress of or misfortunes of another. Pity, commiseration. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow. At least some portion of love generally attends the pain or regret or is excited by it. He is being full of compassion forgave their iniquity, Psalm 78. His father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, Luke chapter 15. Compassion is important. In Luke chapter 10, I won't read the story, but that's the story where the man says, who is my neighbor? I may use that coming up for our friend and neighbor Sunday. But he said, who is my neighbor? And so the Lord told him the story. And he talked about the man that was beaten, half dead, left by the side of the road, stripped of all that he had. And the priest came by and passed him, and the Levite came by and passed him, and pictures of religion and pictures of the law. But the good Samaritan came by and put him on his beast, took care of his wounds, put him in an inn. Amen. That's pretty extensive for somebody you didn't even know. And then he said, that's what you need to do. Go and do that likewise. Amen? And if we could have, if God teaches, have compassion on one, certainly when it says he lifted up his eyes and saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. And compassion is an important part of our life because that's what gives us the desire to reach people. We have pity and we have compassion. Acts 18:10. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. for I have much people in this city. God told that to the Apostle Paul. He gets in Corinth. It's a tough place. And God says, I have much people in that city. I believe God has much people here. That's what he establishes a church for. Amen. Well, where are they? Who are they? We don't know. God knows. Amen. And so we go out and we give the message. Acts chapter 11, verse 24, speaking of Barnabas. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Why were much people added to the Lord? Because Barnabas was the son of consolation. That's what his name means. He had that passion. He had that mercy. He had that spirit of helping. Amen? Much people were added to the Lord. Faithful people are needed in a church so that we can bring in the halt, the maimed, the blind. It says not many mighty are saved. Not many mighty, but some mighty. And some weak, some base, some this, some that. So we invite everybody that they might come and hear the gospel. Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily. This is the early church. I mean, this, can you imagine what it was like? Can you imagine what it was like for 3,000 people to get saved in one day? And filling Jerusalem with that doctrine. Can you imagine what that was like? I mean, when you read about that, man, have you ever been in a meeting where it was just, you never wanted it to end? I mean, you couldn't even keep your eyes open, but you just didn't want it to end. No, you wanted to keep on going. We took our young people to Mexico one time. I was talking to somebody about that a little bit ago. And we took a bus. It took us 33 hours. We drove straight through. No beds, except for the drivers who switched on and off. And it was full of kids. I don't know how many kids we had, 800, 900. But it was filled with teenagers. And took us 30. We drove straight through. If you've ever slept in a chair, it can test your spirit. Amen? Okay, we're not going to talk for the next 5 hours. No, we didn't do that. But I mean, you can imagine. And we get down there, and we went to village after village, church after church, just concrete buildings, dirt. Some of the places people lived were made out of cardboard or tin. They had nothing, but people, all kinds of people were getting saved. And we wanted our young people to experience that. Man, we got back to the place where we were staying at a missionary's place. And they had an upstairs big open room, and that's where we ate. And I don't know, 20 kids? 30-some teenagers were there. And they wanted to have a prayer meeting themselves. Is that a miracle? Amen? 30-some teenagers. And they started praying. And we all went to another room down the hall. But you could hear them. They're crying. They're praising God. I mean, 30-some teenagers. And it just spread. And they wanted me to come back in. I don't know how late it was. They wanted me to come back. And they said, preach something to us. And I'm thinking, man, it's going pretty good the way it is, you know. I don't want to mess it up. But I preached out of Psalm 51. You know, restore unto us the joy of our salvation and a clean spirit, or a right spirit, a clean heart. And they were just eating it up. And they didn't want to go to bed. They just wanted to keep on going. Finally, everybody just fell asleep. Amen. I have a way of putting people to sleep. You know, just toned it right down. But you ever been in something like that? Man, if you've been in something like that, you just want to be there. You just want to hear something else. When God starts speaking to you, you don't want him to be quiet. Amen? Now, I know there's sometimes people are talking and you say, boy, I wish they'd stop talking, you know. You don't do that with God. God is just speaking to our hearts. Man, that is just so exciting. Much people. Here we go, the early church. Verse 46 of Acts 2, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see the spirit that was there? And when we come into church, that's the spirit that we ought to have. And we ought to be busy trying to get people to come with us. Acts 19:26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people from false gods to the true God. Much people again. We have a reason to believe that God has much people in this city. God has much people in this area. We have reason to believe that. We are cooperating with God. We are co-laborers with God. We pray. Acts 18:10, for I am with thee, God says, and I have much people in this city. If Joseph had not been willing to be merciful to his brothers, there would not have been much people saved alive. If he would have been bitter against his brothers, they'd have never got back and brought the rest of the family, and all of that posterity would have perished. But Joseph was a merciful man. Amen? That's a good lesson. If Joshua and Caleb had not been willing to say, we're well able to go in, we are well able, and then the 10 spies that said, we're not able, they died. Of course, the wilderness wandering, 40 years. If they had not stayed true to that message, Joshua, Caleb, Joshua's leading the people, and finally they go into the promised land. If he had not endured all of that time to be faithful to God, amen? Well, we're wandering. Man, we're just wandering. Look what our sin has caused us. We're just wandering. Joshua was faithful. Amen? You have David. Had he not been willing to say, I'll go fight Goliath, he wouldn't have saved his whole nation. And he did, because he defeated the giant in God's power. I will close with this. But Paul said, finally, brethren, and went two more chapters, so don't get too excited. Amen? If Stephen had not been faithful to preach the word, even though they stoned him, if he had not been faithful to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, if he had not had the face of an angel, if he had not had that spirit that they could say nothing about, then the Apostle Paul wouldn't have got saved. If Paul was tired of going around and suffering, so he suffered so much if you read about his life, and he went wherever God took him, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the opposition, Timothy would have never been saved. If Timothy hadn't been saved, then you can go on and on and on. Sometimes it's just one person. Okay, you see our attendance today. We want to have more people here. This is good, but we want more people to reach. Amen? That just makes sense. That's what God tells us to do. So we're trying to do that. We're attempting to do that. And if we're all faithful at that, we'll see that happen. God will do that. Glenn Stockton was my pastor that preached a message, and I got saved under his preaching. Glenn Stockton was saved under Dallas Billington. Dallas Billington was a preacher, and Glenn Stockton got saved. Dallas Billington was saved under Howard Williams. Howard Williams was saved under Gypsy Smith. And Gypsy Smith was saved under George Warner. And that's as far back as I can find it. But one man reached one man, and it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. Much people isn't the criteria for a success. The criteria for a success is be faithful to the Lord. And if it's just one, if it's just one, that's a blessing. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us to be faithful. Give us opportunity, Lord. Bless our church. These are perilous times, and as your word says, there will be more going away than coming. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to be faithful. Maybe another Apostle Paul walked through that door one day. But it doesn't matter, Lord. Every soul is important. It's just the sphere of influence. It's just where you send someone. Please bless everyone that hears this message. Give us a heart to win somebody to you for the glory of our Savior. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a song my wife and I heard, I think for the first time at a meeting down in Texas. There was a singing group there, and they sang this. And it was about a missionary who won people to Christ. And I'll just read the words to you. I think they're powerful words. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. One by one they came, far as the eyes could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. This is what it's all about. It's not how much is in the bank or what we're going to do and the things you can have. We have time to reach the multitudes. Amen. We have time to give the gospel out. And one day, when you get to heaven, there'll be a long line of people. And maybe you only won one, but there'll be some that they won, and some that they won, and some that they won. Please be faithful. Please be faithful. Father, again, we ask your blessing on all that's been said today and the work you've done in hearts. May it bring forth fruit for your glory.